Thanks for tuning in and listening to Riley on Film. I am Damian Riley, your ghost host. While you're here, I hope you got your horror's worth. Find out more and subscribe, only not in that order, at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, enjoy the show. Okay, I'm reviewing The Bat, starring Vincent Price. And when you hear that name, you kind of go, wow, that's a big name for horror. And it was. In the 50s, in the 60s, and 70s. But unfortunately, I was aware only in the 70s. I was born in 69, so I knew him as rather an older man who would make cameos and everybody would be so impressed. Of course, his eyebrows alone were very impressive. But his speech, his ability to deliver lines, it's kind of old school like Charlton Heston. If you ever studied Charlton Heston's moves and, you know, good God, you're so damn ugly, you know, like that. So he's done a lot of similar things to Charlton Heston, although Vincent Price is mostly limited to horror. So The Bat has him in it, and I, for one, was thinking he was the villain. He kind of is. But, excuse me there. He ends up, you know, being a rather good guy in the end. And The Bat is, it reminds me of, like, old school low budget. Like, they just kind of went, okay, let's make another horror movie. We'll make it a thriller, too. We'll put Bat in it, because probably Batman was real popular at the time. But this is The Bat. This is the true stuff. This is the glycerin of madness. And that's what they put together and put out. Pretty cool logo on the cover. It's got an ominous bat in the moonlight. And then it's got the really cool, almost like bam, flam. You know, when they hit people on Batman, it'll say bam, boom, smash. Things like that. So, if you want to just put one in and have it play for a while, maybe, you know, I did my dishes while I watched it. It's good for that, but if you're worrying about, like, a really good mystery that you might have to figure out, it's probably not the one for you. They, on purpose, don't give you many clues. And they're not too worried about giving you clues because it's The Bat, which is a horror movie. You can get away with a lot when you're making a horror movie. You can just say, well, we're in the fantasy realm here. We're producing bats that kill people and turn into people. So we can get away with a lot. We can say nobody would have noticed him walking up the stairs in a creaky old house. Nobody would notice his body type and such. So you can, like, actually get away with a lot more stuff in a horror movie than you can in a regular movie. And I'm reminded of the recent film Hereditary, where you have the horrible death of a sibling. And you can get away with, like, not going through the normal stages of grief because it's a horror movie and it's just part of a horror movie. So that's one example. In a movie, they'd probably be more critical of somebody recovering so quickly from that and or not grieving in the right way, in the right manner. So that's one example. In The Bat here, you've got a silly bat that's driven by pop culture love for Batman. And there's no Batman, but there is a bat prowler who covers his face. They call him the man with no face. I mean, how many times have we heard of a man with no face? This may be where it started. I doubt it, though. I went to a museum exhibit once where it showed a lot of the early art of the American Native Americans. And a lot of the dolls and statues and things had no faces. So I think that was probably either saying this is every man or this is not every man, something like that. So if you know why early art had a lot of it had no faces and a lot of indigenous art has no faces, let me know in the comments. Let's make this a back and forth, a dialogue. Just like a discussion, it's got that DI at the beginning, which means to divide. It's two things at least. So I'd like to get your opinion as well. So why not be a part of it? And if you go to my site on Anchor, they give you the opportunity to actually record a comment, which is even cooler. So if you want to try that out. But the bat, what can I say about the bat? Agnes Moorehead is incredible. You know, she plays an older author, and she does it great, and she's always in control in every room, and that's kind of neat. I think that she was a really big person to get for this role. You remember her from Bewitched. She played Elizabeth Montgomery's mother in that. And I grew up watching it a lot, so I kind of grew to like it. It was sort of provided a peaceful situation for me whenever I turned it on, and that was helpful. So my childhood growing up was nice. My childhood growing up was peaceful too, but just having that TV on, remember Bewitched, and by the way, they did not achieve that with the remake with Will Ferrell. But anyway, this wasn't a very amazing movie, so I don't like to spend a whole lot of time on those types of movies, because I figure I'm not recommending it to you, so there's no reason to get into it too much. But watch it for the writing. You know, I have a friend, Howard Kastner, who podcasts also, and he writes scripts, so I'm sure he's already seen it, but it would be a neat review for him to see how they kind of earmark in clues toward the end to reveal who the real killer is. But that's it for now. I hope you're having a Merry Christmas week. And we're about to have Christmas. All is well. Well, not all is well, but all will never be well. So learn how to live with it and get away from it once in a while through meditation or prayer. All right. Well, you have a good day, and I will see you next time. Thank you for listening to Riley on Film. I'm your host, Damian Riley. You can find out more and subscribe always for free at RileyOnFilm.com. Now, have a great day.